Chapter 15. What did it mean? What did it mean that noontide, when you bade me pluck the flower within the other woman's power, whom I knew not of then? I thought the flower blushed deeply awry, and as I drew its stalk to me, it seemed to breathe. I see, made use of in a human play. And while I plucked, up started sheer as phantom from the pain thereby a corpse-like countenance, with eye that iced me by its billful pure silent, as from a beer. When I came back your face had changed, it was no face for me. Oh, did it speak of hearts estranged, and deadly rivalry in times, before I darked your door, to seest me of mere second love, which still the haunting first deranged. At the dinner table, I sat at dinner in my prime, and glimpsed my face in the sideboard glass, and started as if I had seen a crime, and prayed the ghastly show might pass. Wrenched wrinkled features met my sight, grinning back to me as my own. I well nigh fainted with affright at finding me a haggard crone. My husband laughed. He had slyly set a warping mirror there, in whim to startle me. My eyes grew wet. I spoke not all the eve to him. He was sorry, he said, for what he had done, and took away the distorting glass, uncovering the accustomed one. And so it ended? No, alas. 50 years later, when he died, I sat me in the selfsame chair, thinking of him. Till, weary-eyed, I saw the sideboard facing there, and from its mirror, looked the lean thing I'd become, each wrinkle and score the image of me, that I had seen in jest there 50 years before. The marble tablet, there it stands, though alas, what a little of her shows, in its cold white look. Not her glance, glide, or smile, not a tittle of her voice like the purl of a brook, not her thoughts, that be read like a book. It may stand for her once in November when first she breathed, witless of all, or in heavy years she would remember when circumstance held her in thrall, or at last, when she answered her call. Nothing more. The still marble, date-graven, gives all that it can, tersely lined, that one has at length found the haven which every one other will find, with silence on what shone behind. St. Juliet. September 8, 1916. The master and the leaves. We are budding, master, budding, we of your favorite tree. March drought and April flooding arouse us merrily, our stemlets newly studding, and yet you do not see. Two, we are fully woven for summer in stuff of limpest green, the twitterer and the hummer here rest of nights, unseen, while like a long roll drummer the night jar thrills the treen. Three, we are turning yellow, master, and next we are turning red, and faster then, and faster shall seek our rooty bed, all wasted in disaster. But you lift not your head. Ivy, mark your early going, and that you will soon be clay. I have seen your summer showing as in my youthful day, but why I seem unknowing is too sunken to say. 1917. Last words to a dumb friend. Pet was never mourned as you, purr of the spotless hue, plumy tail, and wistful gaze, while you humored our queer ways, or out shrilled your morning call up the stairs, and through the hall foot suspended in its fall while, expectant, you would stand arched, to meet the stroking hand, till your way you chose to wend yonder, to your tragic end. Never another pet for me. Let your place all vacant be. Better blankness day by day than companion torn away. Better bid his memory fade, better blot each mark he made, selfishly escape distress by contrived forgetfulness, than preserve his prince, to make every morn and eve an ache. From the chair whereon he sat sweep his fur, nor wince thereat, rake his little pathways out mid the bushes round about, smooth away his talons mark from the claw-worn pine tree bark, where he climbed as dusk embrined, waiting us who loitered round. Strange it is this speechless thing, subject to our mastering, subject for his life and food to our gift, and time, and mood, timid pensioner of us powers, his existence ruled by ours, should by crossing at a breath into safe and shielded death, by the merely taking hence of his insignificance loom as large into the sense, shape as part, above man's will, of the imperturbable. As a prisoner, flight-debird, exercising in a yard, still retain I, troubled, shaken, mean estate, by him forsaken, and this home, which scarcely took impress from his little look, by his faring to the dim, grows all eloquent of him. Housemate, I can think you still bounding to the windowsill, over which I vaguely see your small mound beneath the tree, showing in the autumn shade, that you moulder where you played. October 2, 1904. A drizzling Easter morning, and he is risen? Well, be it so. And still the pensive lands complain, and dead men wait as long ago, as if, much doubting, they would know what they are ransomed from, before they pass again their sheltering door. I stand amid them in the rain, while blusters vex the ewe and vein, and on the road the weary wain plods forward, laden heavily, and toilers with their aches, are fain for endless rest, though risen is he. On one who lived, and died where he was born, when a night in November blew forth its bleared airs, an infant descended his birth chamber stairs for the very first time, at the still, midnight chime, all unapprehended his mission, his aim. Thus, first, one November, an infant descended the stairs. On a night in November of weariful cares, a frail-aged figure ascended those stairs for the very last time. All gone his life's prime, all vanished his vigor, and fine, forceful frame. Thus, last, one November ascended that figure upstairs. On those nights in November apart 80 years the babe, and the bent one who traversed those stairs from the early first time to the last feeble climb that fresh, and that spent one were even the same. Yea, who passed in November as infant, as bent one, those stairs. Wise child of November! From birth to blanched hairs descending, ascending, wealth wandless, those stairs, who saw quick in time as a vain pantomime life's tending, ascending, the worth of its fame. Wise child of November, descending, ascending those stairs. The second night ballad. I missed one night, but the next I went, it was gusty above, and clear, she was there, with the look of one ill content, and said, oh, not come near. I'm sorry last night, to have failed you here, and now I have traveled all day, and it's long rowing back to the West Hope here, so brief must be my stay. Man of mystery, why not say? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.